Great to see you all here this morning. What a beautiful day it is, and I would say that even if it was pouring down rain, just so every day is a beautiful day as we live in service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is especially wonderful for us to be able to be gathered such as this and to worship God, and hopefully as Gary prayed in his beautiful prayer just a moment ago, that our hearts have been set upon the words that we have sung and the prayers that have been made, and certainly on the Lord's Supper. Appreciate those good thoughts that Ed shared with us. What a blessed people we are to serve such a magnificent God. We are going to continue our series of lessons talking about accepting responsibility. How many of you want to accept responsibility for what you're going to do today? No? Few of you? They have no intentions to make any mistakes. Well, last week we talked about getting real about ourselves and getting the beam out of our own eye so that we can help someone get the splinter out of their eye. That's difficult. We can easily see the faults of others, and we're kind of a little blind, we're short-sighted when it comes to our own faults. And so we're going to be talking about making an apology today. That's really what this lesson is all about. There are bad apologies. They come quite fluidly. But a proper apology is difficult. And it exposes our weaknesses. It says, I was wrong, and we don't typically want to do that. I want y'all to also understand that as we go through all these lessons, I haven't mastered this. And you can teach and you can preach, but that doesn't mean that just because we know what to do, that we're going to do it. And these things come difficult for me, just as they come difficult for most people when it comes to apologizing. So please, when I don't apologize like I should, use it against me. Just go ahead and say, hey, you know what you said not too long ago. But have you ever had someone say, I'm sorry, okay? That's a real good apology, right? Of course it's not an apology. What it's really saying is, get off my back. What it's saying is, I said the magic words, so you will leave me alone and go away. I'm sorry, okay? We understand that. We understand that we can say hello in a lot of different tones that change the whole meaning of the word hello. And so it is with an apology. One of the worst apologies that someone can actually make is to say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize how sensitive you are. That statement points out that the character flaw, the defect, is in the other person and not in themselves. The other person is too sensitive. That's their fault. It's really not your fault, except that you just didn't know it soon enough so that you could cater to them. So our tone of voice, even if we say the right words, can scream a whole different message. Consider Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 25. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first. This is absolutely amazing. And if we step back and really consider what God is saying, Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, He is saying, don't come and worship me. You go get it right between you and your brother. Then you can come and worship me. God is actually saying that the peace that we should have, the tranquility and to be reconciled if there is any kind of schism between us, needs to be taken care of first. God's really saying, and I almost want to say, you know, tongue in cheek, that instead, he's saying, you've got to put one another before you, first, before you engage in worshiping me, in coming and making an offering to me. That is astounding. That sets me back. That tells me that God is saying your relationships between one another are absolutely paramount. Now, do they really come before God? No. But he's saying, look, you get it right between you and your brother, and then you'll have the right heart to come and worship me, to give me your offering, that he will accept it, if you will. So we continue. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. We understand the guy's at fault, right? You did something to someone. Go make it right. Make it right quickly. But we understand you're going to stand before the judge. This is happening in our society today. And the judge hands you over to the officer, the bailiff that's standing over there to the side, and maybe he cuffs you, whatever. They're going to haul you off. And where are you going to go? And you'd be thrown into prison. In other words, judgment has been made. You should have taken care of it while you had the chance. The spiritual side of this is the seriousness is that we're dead. And there's no more opportunity for reconciliation, and we go to hell. It's a serious matter that we need to take seriously. And it happens in everyday life. So let's consider some of these apologies. These are actually, as you can see, documented apologies. These aren't ones that I just kind of thought up. So the offense is an attorney apologizes for referring to potential jurors as illiterate cave dwellers. His apology, documented. The comment was not meant to be a regional slur to the extent that it was misinterpreted to be one. I apologize. Now, how do you misinterpret? Y'all are all a bunch of illiterate cave dwellers. How do you misinterpret that? So, the offense, a nonprofit executive apologizing for the outlandishly lavish perks he received. His apology is, I did not pay enough attention to detail or to the way some of my actions could have been perceived and my personal style could have been perceived by certain people. In other words, just your perception. I really didn't do anything wrong. In fact, I thought about using Como. In this lesson, this is every day, and this could be you and me too. Okay, we can be just as guilty. We can point the finger and we can laugh about some of these and go, oh yeah, I would never. But we're probably just as guilty and will be. The offense, a country music singer, after he criticized another singer's popular song, says, if anything I have said has hurt Dolly, and it's not my wife, just to throw that out there, or her family, I apologize, but I do not apologize for my opinion. Now, I can see where someone could say, I apologize for my attitude, my tone of voice, but I don't apologize for what I said. Like I've already told y'all, my mama says, had said for years, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That goes back to that, hello, or hello. I mean, same word, but. So, the offense, a politician apologizing for calling his rival an unusually good liar. It was an unfortunate remark that once it's in print, it looks a lot worse than it actually is. Now, you and I have also let things come out of our mouths. And we go, oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. Right? And we wish we could pull it back, but we can't. We've done stabbed them. We'll talk more about that as we go through these lessons. A professional athlete apologizing after attacking his coach during a team practice. I want everyone to know how sorry I am for what happened. I'm not as bad as everyone has made me out to be. Yes, I was wrong, but I didn't kill anybody. Yeah, it could always be worse. But that doesn't justify what was said. And this is not taking ownership. That's the bottom line. And you and I have to take ownership. And so, let's talk about making a good confession. Most bad apologies stem from a desire to escape the consequences. We don't want them to bite us. We're really not sorry. We're just sorry we were caught. So now we just want to say the magic words to get them to go away. Don't badger me. Don't ride me. And that's not a good attitude. So making a good confession, a real apology is about healing the hurt or restoring the wound. It's not about me. It's about what I've done to the other person. Saying it is a misunderstanding or misinterpretation that all these people are a bunch of illiterate cave dwellers is not justification. So let's talk about the seven A's, but before, let's consider Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. The first one that we're going to consider is address everyone involved. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 37, the context is that Paul has been falsely accused. He's been thrown in jail. This was done very publicly, but now the officials going to release him want to do it secretly. Paul says, no, you did this publicly, and everyone's going to know you were wrong. We did not do anything incorrect and so on. We are not at fault. So we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 37, but Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, which was a major no-no, and have thrown us into prison, and now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. Now, it's one thing to say something to a person, and you go to that person. That's good, to go to that person and to apologize and say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. But what if there are witnesses? What if there are others who saw that? You see, when others are involved, they need to be involved in the apology. So, if I am rude and disrespectful to my wife in front of my children, not only do I need to apologize to my wife, but I need to apologize to my kids too. They need to know Dad was wrong. If this happens in the workplace and there's other witnesses, you need to make it right before them too. And that's difficult, but it's needful. Avoid the ifs and the buts. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You're very familiar with this passage. The point is that we oftentimes want to make excuses for our actions. We want to justify ourselves in some manner. So it's hard for us to really say the proper apology because we always want to qualify ourselves. And so we excuse ourselves by saying, I'm sorry I was angry. Or I'm sorry if I was angry. Well, the question is, were you angry or not? Or, I'm really sorry, Mark, for what I said, but you really upset me. I'm sorry, but I've had a really bad day. Is that any reason to mistreat someone? It's not. I'm sorry if I offended you, but you've been annoying me all day long. And the list can go on and on. It's much more powerful for us to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I should not have done this. I should not have done that. And take ownership. Because number three, I need to admit specifically. I really need to get down to the brass tacks, as we would say, where the rubber meets the road. Oftentimes we want to be so vague, you wouldn't even know what the person's apologizing for. Oftentimes we are scalpel-like when addressing someone. We're splitting hairs. But when it comes to our faults, extremely vague. A son comes to his father and says, Dad, I'm thinking about proposing to this particular girl. And so the father says, say you're sorry. He says, what? Say you're sorry. Why? Say you're sorry. What are you talking about? Say you're sorry. I don't understand, Dad. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, now you're prepared to get married. We've got to be quick, non-reluctant, to say I'm sorry. You ain't perfect and I'm not perfect. What did you do wrong? It really does go beyond saying, I'm sorry. Don't be vague. Take ownership. A couple is in their vehicle going to the lawyer's office to file papers for divorce. And the husband doesn't just say, because he finally gets it, he doesn't just say, I'm sorry for being a bad husband. What he does do is he says, I apologize for working too much. I apologize for leaving the kids with you to contend with all by yourself. Because I want to go and do my hobby. Do what I want to do. I'm sorry for not giving you the time you deserve. True story. She tears the papers up and they make a U-turn and go home. Because he gets it. You and I need to take ownership of our faults. Say we're sorry, but get down to the nitty-gritty. Just like we would do with them, right? We do with ourselves. We have to acknowledge the hurt that we cause the other person. To understand what we've done to them. It's not a cheap confession. We're really owning what we did. And it's not gender specific. Men have feelings too. And so, acknowledging the pain we've caused the other person increases our empathy towards them. I'll tell you a true story, which is personal also. We were worshiping at a congregation where every woman hugged every man. It was just the way it is, and even some guys hugged one another. I sure miss it. I would almost compare it to the dog that's in your lap, and that's what he's accustomed to. And then after 10 years, you kick him out and he's on a chain, and you only go out there and feed him, because that's how it feels sometimes. And I love that hug, and there was just a lot of love in that congregation, and I miss that. And so it was quite common in that area, you might say. We'd go and visit and go to meetings. There's a lot of meetings in that area because of the congregations. And if that woman knew you, it was just kind of just natural. They would put their arm around you. It might be a side hug or whatever. We're not talking about, you know. But it was a hug. It was that contact, that friendly intimacy. And so we got close to another family that was at another congregation, and we'd go over to their house. They would come to our house, and I gave her a hug, just like gave everyone a hug. And then we were in the backyard, and her husband says, "Daryl, I need to talk to you about something." "Oh no, what have I done now?" He says, "It's really not your fault. I know, you know, all these guys hug one another and so on, but my wife was molested by a preacher when she was a teenager. And it's not you, but it's just that you're a preacher." She knows that. And when you hug, it just brings back some of those thoughts. Not a problem. Never hugged her again. You see, I didn't hurt her. But I had to be sensitive to that. Pain that we can personally cause, though, can be everlasting. And we may not be able to heal the wound. We'll talk about that in another lesson, but acknowledge the hurt. Again, you're not just trying to just get away. Kick them to the curb. Get off my back so I can go do what I want. So naturally, it's accepting the consequences of our actions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 10, this whole context I'd love to spend time on, but our time is running away. It says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation." Of course, this is before God, but it still applies. Not to be regretted. Don't ever regret godly sorrow that leads to repentance, true repentance. But the sorrow of the world produces death. The sorrow of the world is just saying, "I said I'm sorry, okay? I said the magic words, now go away." And that should never be our heart. It's genuine repentance before the Lord and that person. Genuine repentance that tries to not only change, which we'll see is the next one, but a true reconciliation. It's the kid who throws the ball in the house and breaks a lamp, and he gets fussed at, "I've told you not to throw the ball in the house." And the kid says, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And then goes upstairs and gets his piggy bank and breaks it and takes all the change to his dad and says, "Here, I'm sorry." That's godly sorrow. Do we have that kind of sorrow when we've hurt someone? When we've done the wrong? Do we really change? An apology tied to a promise that's fulfilled through action. Now, the likelihood that when we say we'll never do it again is that we probably will. But we've changed our behavior. We're not continuing to go down that same path, if you will. And we have now accomplished, if you will, asking for true forgiveness. You've come to this point. You've addressed everyone, not just that person. Taking ownership, we've left the ifs and the buts. We're not putting the blame on them for our actions. We've admitted specifically what we did. We've acknowledged that we have hurt them. We have accepted the consequences. We're going to give ear to them. Let them maybe give us a little, their 2 cents worth. But we also need to say it. We need to say, please forgive me. Maybe not just I'm sorry. Give the one offended the opportunity to release, to accept the apology. They could remain bitter, but at least you've done your part. And it gives opportunity for closure on both parties. Turn with me over to Psalm 51. Kind of mentioned this to a certain degree in passing Wednesday night Bible class about our forgiveness, asking God for forgiveness, and when's the last time you put on sackcloth? So, well, I don't know where to get sackcloth. If you need a resource, I'll let you know. When's the last time you threw ashes or dirt on you? Yourself, and the idea that you're just going to bury yourself in the dirt because that's how low you feel for what you've done. When's the last time when you've done something wrong, you're taking account, you're accepting responsibility for it, and you literally tore your clothes no matter what you were wearing because you were moved with sorrow and anguish for what you just did? When have you been on your knees all night long? All night long. You know, we have a song about that, which I can't sing because I haven't. But when have we stayed up all night long pleading for forgiveness for something we've done against God? I question whether I really have godly sorrow, even if I change my behavior. Did I really, really repent before God? Because those examples I just gave are not foreign to the Scripture. To fast. Throw ashes on yourself and put on sackcloth for a period of time. Listen to David's words, and this would be believed by most scholars after his sin with Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and have done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in your inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You can see that. That's foreign to him at this point in time. Doom and gloom, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. There's that changing. Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way. You know, getting the beam out of your own eye so you can help others, right? And sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. That's just kind of like, okay, here you go, God. I'll just pacify you. Here's a lamb. I did my duty. I said the magic words. Forgive me, okay? That's not the heart of David. And it shouldn't be the heart of us towards God or even our fellow man. The sacrifices of God are a broken, broken spirit. You feel the pain of the other person that you've caused. A broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be praised with the sacrifice of righteousness, being a changed person, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. That's when the sacrifice will be acceptable to God. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. The older generation will know who Marion Jones Thomas is. As we draw a close to the lesson, I want to read to you her apology. This was done with the cameras on. National news. See if you can recognize some good in this. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Marion Jones Thomas, and I am here today because I have something very important to tell you, my fans, my friends, and my family. Over the many years of my life as an athlete and in the sport of track and field, you have been fiercely loyal and supportive towards me. Even more loyal and supportive than words can declare has been my family, and especially my dear mother who stands by my side today. And so it is with a great amount of shame I stand before you and tell you that I have betrayed your trust. I want all you to know that today I plead guilty to two counts of making false statements to federal agents. Making these false statements to federal agents was an incredibly stupid thing for me to do, and I am responsible fully for my actions. I have no one to blame but myself for what I have done. To you, my fans, including my young supporters, the United States Track and Field Association, my closest friends, my attorneys, and the most classy family a person could ever hope for, namely my mother, my husband, my children, my brother, and his family, my uncle, and the rest of my extended family, I want you to know that I have been dishonest. And you have the right to be angry with me. I have let them down. I have let my country down. I have let myself down. I recognize that by saying that I am deeply sorry, it might not be enough and sufficient to address the pain and the hurt that I have caused you. Therefore, I want to ask for your forgiveness for my actions, and I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. I have asked Almighty God for my forgiveness. Having said this, and because of my actions, I am retiring from the sport of track and field. Uh, a sport which I deeply love. I'm not even writing this. I promise that these events will be used to make the lives of many people improve, that by making the wrong choices and bad decisions can be disastrous. I want to thank you all for your time. I don't know her stand before God, but I'll tell you this. She got it. Why can't we? We have such wonderful examples. It's hard to find, other than Psalm 51, where someone really bears their soul. Even Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 just says, "Pray for me," to the Apostle Peter. Remember to allow the other person some time when you have hurt them. Don't treat the offender like you have them over the fire and rotate them like a skewer. Don't use your confession to point out the sins of others. If that needs to be done, you wait for another time, not right then. Ask yourself, are you really sorry? These 7 A's, they can be expressions of sorrow, and you might go through the steps but not really mean it. So we need to mean it. We need to have godly sorrow that demands that we accept full responsibility. We haven't left out the ifs, or we have left out the ifs and the buts. We're not vague. We are specific. We've changed our behavior. We're willing to suffer the consequences. And it starts within. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is faithful. The question is, are we? Are we faithful to Him? He died on the cross. He died. He died that we might be forgiven. We need to have the same kind of compassion for those who have hurt us. But even more so, for those whom we have hurt. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves. Your brother sins against you. Rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Thank you for listening this morning. I hope that you're getting something out of this series. May we all accept responsibility for our actions. We can help you in your walk with Christ. We can sit down with you and study God's Word. This is our authority. This is what we live by. And we would love to be a part of instilling that in your heart also. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?